Some of you have seen the poster that's hanging up in the back lobby. We know the artist personally who has composed this, and I thought that it might be a way for some to reinforce what the series about our identity in Christ, the things that we can say as Christians. So if you didn't know, if you're newer to the congregation, they're actually for sale, and I think the artist generally wants to stay anonymous, so we'll be the go-between. It would be $20 for the poster, and it doesn't come with a frame. You'll have to get the frame yourself. But if you're interested in that, Vivian, would you be willing to write down the names of people who would want one of those? So I'll try to keep that up for our remaining weeks in the series. The other thing is that we now have more pamphlets that are in, so some of you were very kind in waiting for getting yours. They're up on the half wall right there near the piano, and you can go ahead and pick those up now. Well, have you ever had anybody say to you, you need to reconcile with so-and-so? Ever have somebody come up and you know, you need to get things right with them? And they'll try to do that with you, and maybe you struggle with that idea. Maybe you didn't struggle with that idea. Maybe you weren't even sure what reconcile even means, and is it necessary? If you're confused by the idea of reconciling and reconciliation with people, it occurs to me that we might be a little bit confused as to what it means to reconcile with God. So we're going to be talking about that this morning as we go back to our series. Our series of the fall is My Identity in Christ. Most Sundays we are going over three truth statements about what we are. These are things that are true about us once we receive Christ into our lives. Every week, the idea is partially to say, you know what? If this looks good to you and you have not yet received Christ, think about receiving Christ. That's like a constant for this. But we are going to indeed start with what we were just talking about. Something that a Christian can say is, I am reconciled with God. Now, if you just look at a definition in a regular dictionary about what it means to reconcile, one of them puts it this way, to make friendly again. Okay, so it's talking about two sides. Sometimes it's individuals, could be more than individuals, it could actually be groups, but it's the idea that something has happened there, and so they say to make friendly again, or another way to put it is to restore a friendly relation between those two parties. So our relationship with God changed after we received Christ. But we're not just going to say that our relationship changed. We're going to say that it had to change. Our relationship with God had to change. The last time that we were in our series, I talked about the idea of being justified. And most of you, I think, were able to hear that. If not, you could always get the CD or listen online. But we said that before being justified by God, we were actually considered his enemies. And that's just the truth of it. So the verse that referred to that was Romans 5, verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So let me unpack that verse just a bit. First, you can notice that the verse does say pretty plainly, it refers to this time when we were enemies. This is before we were reconciled. This is before we received Christ. And as you can imagine, the reason that we were enemies was due to our sin. So please understand, sin, which is in every human being, sin automatically makes a person an enemy of God because he is holy. Okay? So sin automatically makes the person an enemy of God because he is holy. And that's why I said our relationship had to change. Who in their right mind would want to say, oh, I don't mind being an enemy of God? Okay, any sane person is going to say that it makes absolute sense to change that relationship. Secondly, as you look at this verse, it states the fact that while we were enemies, that believers then came to be reconciled with God. So what was, you could say, a strained relationship or what was a bad relationship then became friendly again. The third thing that you could look at this verse, that what allowed that to take place was the death of his Son. Reconciliation with God comes through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul says something very similar in another verse. This is from Colossians 1, verses 19 and 20. For it was the Father's good pleasure, kind of goes with Isaiah 53, if you connect this with the Old Testament. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in the Son. In other words, the fullness of being God. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through, there it is, the blood of his cross. So the thing that makes it possible for us to be reconciled with God is the fact that Jesus shed his blood on the cross. His sacrificial death at Calvary is the thing that changes it so that we could turn into beloved children, beloved sons and daughters, instead of being enemies. Anybody here grateful for that change? Okay? It is a big deal. You do not want to be on God's enemy list because it has eternal consequences to it. And to think that it's actually possible through God, through Jesus' shed blood, to go from being an enemy to a beloved son or daughter is just an awesome, awesome thing. I want to show you one more verse on reconciliation. And I'll tell you this right now. The verse that I'm going to show you is not necessarily the easiest one to understand. In fact, some Christians have difficulty processing what exactly does this mean. But because it's difficult, doesn't mean that we're going to shy away from it. So we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we were there earlier in the series when we talked about being new creatures or a new creation, right? Some of you will remember that. This is what happens to follow immediately after Paul saying that. Now, all these things are from God, the whole thing about being a new creation, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So some look at that, especially that part that I underlined for you, and they go, whoa, 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 wait, wait. Reconciling the world to himself? Does that mean that God's okay with everybody now? That like everybody gets to go to heaven? And the answer to that is no. Why would Jesus have talked about hell if he knew that everybody was going to be able to go to heaven, right? That's a very simple, we're cutting to the chase there. Jesus would not have talked about hell if it meant that everybody was going to get in. So Jesus' death does not mean that reconciling the world to himself, it doesn't mean that then everybody is going to have salvation, everybody gets saved, but it means that God is going to make the offer of salvation to everyone, similar to what John 3:16 says, right? He loved the world, so he gave his son. You can tie that in with what this is saying here. The easiest way to understand this idea of God reconciling the world to himself is to illustrate it by using our hands. And this is something that I've shown to the congregation before. If you haven't seen this, this is a very easy way for us to communicate the idea of reconciliation. So what we say is the palm, the front of our hand is the face, okay? And then the back of our hand is the idea of turning the back. So when it came to the idea of the garden, we had fellowship between mankind and God. So God was able to face us in fellowship in the garden. But when sin occurred, it was mankind turning their back on God, and mankind turned their back on God, but then God also had to turn his back on mankind because of that sin. Everybody with me? Okay. Then when it came to Jesus' death on the cross, God faced mankind again, offering them, because Christ had done that reconciling work, and then it's up to each individual for them to decide, am I going to turn back to God or not? Pretty easy, right? Okay, this is something you can just illustrate with your hands, with faces, and because we call that your palm, the palm of your hand, the face, and the back is the back. So, together, separate, God turns, mankind each has to decide to turn. That's what this verse is getting at in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So, the New Testament makes very clear there's no automatic in. It's by personal faith, saying, I believe that what Christ did was for me. That is how a person then completes what God has started for reconciliation to happen. So, you know, have a smile on your face because you can say, I am reconciled with God. Praise God. The next thing that's somewhat connected to that is to say, I am at peace with God. Yesterday, I presided over the service. A few of you were there, but I presided over the service of Johnny Garner's dad, John Garner. Sometimes when a person is near death, we ask a question like this, right? As the person's on their deathbed, are you at peace with God? Okay. But some people think that this almost is just going to be reserved for those final days. It's a good question, but you can know that you are at peace with God long before your deathbed. This is what Scripture teaches us. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about being justified, and we saw this verse from Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are declared just, we are declared right with God, and as a result of that, we have peace with Him. So 2 weeks ago, we connected that with verses that were later on in that chapter of Romans 5. Having peace with God meant that we were no longer His enemy, something we were just talking about. It means that we're going to be rescued, says that chapter. Okay, we're going to be rescued from the wrath that is to come on mankind. That's all part of the idea of being at peace with God. Now, if you look in the New Testament talks about having an internal peace, right? It talks about having God's peace inside of us. It talks about that there should be peace between people insofar as it is possible with you, right? Be at peace with all, not just fellow Christians, but with non-Christians too. So those are things that are talking, verses that talk about peace. But please recognize that what we're talking about here comes prior to that. Some people want God's peace, but they don't necessarily want to go through what it takes to get to peace, and that's through Jesus Christ. This is saying that the way that you get to peace is by being made right with Him by the blood of Calvary. So what comes first is peace with God. And then we can have a sense of, God, I need to draw upon that peace that You've given me inside. And you can have peace with others because of realizing how the Holy Spirit is changing you and how He's made you able to have peace. But we have to recognize that that is what comes first. The early church preached this. The early church preached how to obtain peace with God. Before there was this gigantic movement of the Gentiles turning towards God, right? We know that originally that things started in Jerusalem. It was just with the Jews that salvation began to spread. But eventually, salvation busts out, and kind of since that time, the majority of Christians around the world are Gentiles. They are non-Jews. Before that movement started, Peter, as you know in the book of Acts, goes and talks to Cornelius and his household, and he told Cornelius by a vision that God had given him, now I understand. God is not partial. He has no partiality. By that, he meant that salvation was not just going to be offered to those of Israel. But that message, says Peter, was the word, in other words, the message which God sent to the sons of Israel. He sent it to Israel. That's historically the way it was to happen. Preaching peace through Jesus Christ. So this is something that at the very beginning, before this movement exploded with Gentiles being saved, Peter says to them. So that's from Acts chapter 10, verse 36. Peter was sharing that same message of peace that was offered to the Jews was going to be offered to the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul would later write to the Ephesians, those Gentile believers, and he would put it very simply, Christ Himself is our peace. He Himself is our peace. He's the way. He's the way to having peace with God, with each other, inside of ourselves. He is our peace. So we said that you can say this statement, I am reconciled with God, and that it's similar to the idea of saying I am at peace with God. The verses that we already looked at makes that connection extremely clear, right? You saw this before. It was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in the Son and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So when we think about those two things together, Jesus made a sacrifice, he gave his life for us, peace and reconciliation go together. Last one that we're going to look at this morning, a last truth statement that we can say about ourselves is, praise God, I am accepted by God. This is going to maybe, you might think you take it at face value and you know where this is going. Maybe not. The clearest expression of this idea of being accepted by God is in Ephesians chapter 1, but I'll admit you have to have a particular translation to see it the clearest. So here's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 in the New King James Version. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved being a nickname there, as many people know, of the Son of the Lord Jesus. So that is the New King James. King James puts it very, very similarly. But the English Standard Version, and a lot of other Bibles are similar to this, they're going to say, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. So you may wonder about that. Why is it that a couple say accepted in the beloved? He's made us accepted, and others say he has blessed us. And there is some flexibility there in the original language. I think that what it's really trying to say is that one is looking at the result, that's being accepted. The other is looking at the process by blessing us. The blessing us leads to God accepting us because of Christ. There's a place where it's a little bit maybe more common in more versions, and that's in Romans 15, verse 7. How's this for a great verse? Therefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. I don't accept that person. Oh, did God accept you? If he did, then it says that we're to accept. Now, by the way, accepting a person doesn't mean you have to agree with everything they do, everything they say. That's not it. But it's accepting them as a person, okay? Their value, their worth, and all those kind of things. But very simply, Paul says toward the end of Romans, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us. And then he presented us, of course, to his Father. Likewise, in Hebrews 12, we'll do this one first. Romans 15, it says, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. You might need a little bit of insight here. The only reason that we can offer ourselves as a living sacrifice that is acceptable to God, the only reason we can do that is because he's already accepted us. Make sense? Okay? If he hasn't accepted us already, we can't offer an acceptable sacrifice. But because he has accepted us, therefore, we can offer an acceptable sacrifice. Similar to that, Hebrews 12, 28, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service. So acceptable sacrifice, acceptable service, with reverence and awe. And the reason that our service, the reason that our sacrifice can be accepted by God is because he's accepted us first. Once we are accepted by God, then what we offer to him will be accepted. So there's something here that is very profound about being accepted by God, because it's not just like saying that because God accepts me, I'm part of the in crowd now. You know, it's not that. It's not belonging to the club. It's something much, much deeper that Hebrews talks about. I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to front load it, and then we'll look at it a little bit more deeply. When we say, I am accepted by God, what it really means is, I can come into his presence. Okay? To say that I am accepted by God means that I can come into his presence. I can come into the presence of the God who is holy, which is amazing. So Hebrews talks about that idea before we get to chapter 12 here. Back in chapter 4, this is the idea. Author says in verse 16, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may find mercy, we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So the idea is this, being acceptable to a holy God means that we can go confidently that he's not going to zap us with a lightning bolt. Some people have that idea when it comes to what God is like. That he's not going to say, get out of my presence. I'm not going to hear your prayers. I'm not going to accept your worship. Those things become acceptable to him, and so we can go confidently about that. With this idea of confidence, there's another verse in Hebrews as well. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by his sacrifice, let us draw near with a sincere heart. That's from 19, and then I'm removing the parenthetical part to jump to the conclusion of it, which is there in verse 22. In the Old Testament, you needed a special priest to go into the holy place, correct? Okay, you needed a special priest to be able to go into the holy place. And they went into this temple, which was where God's presence was considered to be. This is saying that the one who places his faith in what Jesus did at Calvary is able to enter the true holy place, which is in heaven. And we connect with God in his holy place, in his very presence, connecting with him in prayer, connecting with him by worship. That's what it means to say, I am accepted by God. It means that we can directly, without anybody in between us, we can directly connect to God and be received into his presence. And so we are to draw near with confidence. After we receive Christ, we are reconciled with God. We are at peace with God. We are accepted by God. For these first two, as we just want to leave kind of some final thoughts of application, maybe for you this is an easy thing, maybe it's a difficult thing, but let's now apply that to people that we know. Are we reconciled with people? Are we at peace with people? I know that for some, the idea of reconciliation, you know, if we go back to the hands here, and we say, look, I've been facing this person, and I've wanted to be reconciled, and they just will not. Okay, then God knows your heart, and he knows that you have done what you can. We've said before when we talked about forgiveness that forgiveness is a one-way thing. You just got to do that, because Christ's forgiven you. You got to forgive. But reconciliation is a two-way thing. I can tell you, with some things that Vivian have gone through earlier in our lives, we have forgiven people, we have wanted to reconcile with them, but they will not reconcile with us. Okay, God knows your heart. He knows whether this is going to be easy or not. But to do your part, to say, God, after all this time, I have no idea how I'd reconcile with that person. Kind of like what was being said in prayer earlier with regards to orphans, God's more interested in our willingness. And so are we willing to take that step of faith in him and to offer ourselves to go forward with reconciliation? By the way, don't do that if you literally think it means putting yourself in danger. Okay, that's something different. You can trust God with that too, to say, I'm willing to reconcile, Lord, but you know that this would be dangerous. He knows all those things. The second thing is being at peace with others. As I was working last night on my computer on some church things, there's a dog in our neighborhood, and he was barking constantly. I mean, there are things that we do to drive our neighbors crazy, but that they also do to drive us crazy. Well, do you bear a grudge? Do you have a scowl on your face every time you pass them? This could be with coworkers. This could be with family. Or is it, again, us saying, I'm willing to be at peace with them? Because these two go together, reconciliation and peace. For the last one, accepted by God, I'm going to give a different kind of challenge, because we said that being accepted by God really talks about boldness to go into his presence. And so how do we do when it comes to praying to him? It is a privilege that we can't even imagine, because it is coming into his presence for prayer. Do we need to do something in our prayer lives to truly show and say, you know what, Lord, I believe I'm so accepted, I'm going to change the way that I pray? Or what about the idea of worshiping? Do you always struggle with your thoughts about letting go of things when you're in this place? And of course, we want to have a daily worship, but let's concentrate on those special times of worship, like a Sunday morning service. We have to learn to let go and to say, because I'm accepted, I have got to take advantage of this opportunity. Lord Jesus, help me to let go of these things so I can focus on you because you've accepted me. And I don't want to reject you if you've accepted me. Some pretty heavy things to think about among these three things, but they're also truths that we can rejoice in. And as we say, if anybody is not there yet, these are great things that you can say about yourself, and they could be true for any person who comes to Christ and receives what he did at Calvary. Let's pray. Well, Father, we live in the real world. We don't live in the world of we hope so and might have been. And so we know, Father God, that reconciliation is not an easy thing. And I know, Father, from personal experience that there are times when I have forgiven, kind of like a first step, and now I do want to be able to restore that relationship to some level of friendliness. Maybe not deep friendship, but at least friendliness. Father God, through the Lord Jesus, we are reconciled with you. And that means that we don't have to fear the future and what that holds, the judgment, the wrath that's going to fall on mankind. Help us to rescue others, Father, because we don't want the wrath to fall on them. But when it comes to our own relationships, Father God, will you help us in just the way that you know, because you know us through and through, help us to reconcile where possible. And if it's not, to be able to let it go and to be able to say, Lord, you know that I've tried. Same thing, Father, with being at peace with those that are around us, Lord. What kind of representation of the Lord Jesus are we presenting? We want to be those people who have a sense of internal peace. We want to be able to have peace with others. All that is only made possible because we can say that through Jesus Christ that we have peace now with you. And Father, we thank you that you have accepted us to such a profound degree that we don't have to worry about going through special hoops or special ceremonies or special people, but that to every believer, because they are accepted, they have this direct access. And so we need to come boldly in prayer. We need to come boldly in our worship to enjoy you in your presence. Help us with these things, Father. We admit that our flesh is weak, but we thank you that you have accepted us. You have reconciled us, Lord. We are at peace with you. Hallelujah, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.